Remain standing for the reading of the scriptures together. And our text this morning will come from the New Testament, from the book of Hebrews. From Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. From the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In coming weeks, we'll begin looking at the early chapters of the prophet Isaiah. And I wanted, before we started moving in that direction, I wanted us to hear, some beauties and some truths and some words from this preacher to the Hebrews. Essentially, I want to ask you a question. Why should you listen to the Bible? Parents, why should your children? Why should they listen to the Bible? And why should your friends, why should your neighbors bend an ear to an ancient book comprised of 66 particular books with human authors in a world of competing voices, competing allegiances, competing and contradictory information? Why should you listen to the Bible? Why should you hear its words? And essentially, what I want you to hear is that you ought to listen. Your children, your neighbors, your friends, you ought to listen to the Bible because God has spoken. At the end of the day, the Bible needs no defense. It simply demands to be read. Why should you listen? Because God has spoken. He's spoken, first of all, in the past. Did you notice this in these words? He's spoken, first of all, when? Okay, so kids, did you notice this in verses 1 and 2? When did God speak? Look at verse 1. The first two words of verse 1, long ago. God has spoken. And when has He done so? He has spoken in the past. He's spoken in the past through the prophets. He's spoken through these men. He's spoken through the Old Testament prophets. Look at verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But what is he speaking of? He's speaking of this ancient book. He's speaking of the Old Testament prophets. He's speaking of Isaiah. He's speaking of Jeremiah. He's speaking of Moses. He's speaking of these Old Testament. He's speaking of an ancient text, sacred oracles that must be heard. God has spoken, first of all, in the past. And how has he spoken in the past? He's spoken by means of the prophets. Now, here's the thing. When those prophets wrote, and they had different personalities, they had different gifts. You look back at the Old Testament, you just crack it open, and every single one of those human authors had different gifts and strengths. Each human hand was trained and equipped in a different way. You have Isaiah, who's possessed of a very high, very majestic style. And then you have Amos, who's a shepherd. Very different styles. Yeah, the same thing in the New Testament. But here's the thing. No prophecy of the Scripture is of one's own interpretation, Peter says. But men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, what Scripture says, God says. What the Bible utters, God has spoken. Why should you listen to the Bible? It needs no defense. It simply demands to be read because God has spoken. He's spoken in the past by means of the prophets. And he's spoken, look at verse 1. He's spoken to the fathers. The Bible does not turn its back on history. The Bible is built on this ancient lineage and line and history. That's one thing that makes the Bible, it's one thing that makes Christianity distinct from every other religion of the world, that ours is historically rooted. It's not merely a system of thought, although it is, but it's a system of thought that is rooted and anchored in historical events and people and places. Historical events, these pivotal moments. And God spoke to our fathers. Why should you hear the Bible? Because God has spoken. He's spoken in the past. He's spoken by means of the prophets. He's spoken to our fathers. And he's spoken at many times and in many ways. How was the Bible given? Many times, many ways. Visions, dreams, the spoken word, the writing of a hand on stone, the supernatural sovereign influence of the Spirit upon the mind of the human author. Now, where do we get the Scriptures? Where does the Bible come from? Why is the church, why is this the mission of the church, to set the Bible before people? Because the race of men, the souls of human beings, we are naturally at odds. We are at war with our Maker, and we raise our fist in rebellion against His law, against His providence, against His design, against His pattern. And what must be done? What must be done is for the Bible to be set before people, for hearing to be arrested. The Apostle Paul, this is what he says. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless there is preaching? And how will they preach unless they are sent? And what does Paul conclude there? He concludes in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So for the church, the word must be read, it must be prayed, it must be preached, and it even must be sung, so that the hearing, so that the attention of people would be gripped. When you listen to the Bible, you know what happens? You listen to the Bible and you enter a whole other world. It's a whole other realm. You enter this world that transcends. It transcends geography. It transcends time. It transcends national boundaries. And it transcends the very narrow assumptions of a contemporary world. Are you willing to have your assumptions challenged? Will you listen to the Bible? Will you humble yourself enough to bend? Our necks are naturally stiff. Are you willing to bend and to listen to what was spoken long ago? In many times, in many ways. Spoken by the prophets. Now, the second thing I want you to see is that you ought to listen to the Bible, not only because he's spoken in the past, you also ought to hear it because he's spoken by his Son. Did you notice this in verse 2? In these last days, ever since the resurrection of Christ, y'all, we've been living in the last days. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Why should you listen to the Scriptures? You should listen because he has spoken by his Son. Everything that has already been revealed, everything that had already been spoken by the prophets, it was all leading up to this point when God would send forth his Son to be born of a woman, born under the law. It's all leading up to this point. So much so that when Jesus is explaining to those disciples on the walk to Emmaus after his resurrection, and their heads are down, their spirits are rock bottom because Christ has been crucified, and they had assumed that he was the one who would politically deliver Israel. And what does Jesus say? He calls them fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What does Jesus do? Jesus takes his disciples back. He takes them back to the prophets of the Old Testament. He takes them back to Moses. He takes them back to Isaiah. Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And what does he go on to do? Their hearts burn within them, as he shows from the law of Moses and from the prophets and from the Psalms, the things concerning himself. According to Jesus, all of what was spoken long ago to our fathers by the prophets. According to Jesus, why should you listen to the Bible? Because all that was spoken leads up to Him. It all points, it all focuses. There's a burning focus upon Him. All of these long ago, many times, many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. What is it all leading up to? It's all leading up to Him. So then, what is the New Testament? Why should you read the New Testament? The New Testament is simply magnifying. It is simply explaining. It is reinforcing that Jesus, this Christ, this one who's crucified and slain, and He's raised from the dead, it's all pointing. You read the New Testament as an explanation, exposition, magnifying of everything that was already revealed, everything already spoken. He's spoken by His Son, who is the final revelation from God. He's spoken these words. He's spoken, the Holy Spirit comes down upon these human authors, and Christ represents the fullness. That He is the richness, He is the perfection, He is the completion of everything that's ever been spoken or written. Now, He is the one, he's the one it all leads to. Building one upon another. So that Moses can speak of the prophet who would be raised up in Deuteronomy 18. And that prophet is pointing you ahead as a picture of what Christ will do. That David is promised, you shall never lack a man to sit upon the throne. And that's pointing you straight ahead to Christ who will rule upon the throne of His father David. You have Isaiah speaking of the suffering servant who was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, bearing the sins of His people, numbered with the transgressors. Jesus is the final, full revelation from God. He says to His disciples, I'm sending you My Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. And what will that Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do? See, here's the thing. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're all one. And you can't separate Jesus from the Bible. You don't separate the Spirit from the Bible. No, they go together. It's the Spirit who gave you the Bible. Since the Spirit comes to show you the things of Christ, you look at John 16, verses 13 and 14 this afternoon. Since the Spirit shows you the things of Christ, since the Spirit uses these prophets who long ago spoke at many times and in many ways, writing down what was being revealed, since the Spirit has given you the Word of God written, you ought to bend an ear. And this Christ, He is the full, He's the final revelation. Where else would you go? What else would you need? When Scripture speaks, God speaks. And since it is all, it's all revolving around Christ, since He is the one it all leads to, He is the one spoken of. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Since He is the one who has spoken, here's the thing. When Scripture speaks, Jesus speaks. When Moses is recording the words of God from Sinai, it is Christ who is speaking. When God speaks, let there be light, it is Jesus who is speaking. Let that light shine. Let there be light that breaks forth in the darkness. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. And when Scripture speaks, Jesus speaks. He is the final complete revelation from God. And he's completely authoritative. In other words, he has a right to command. He has a right to command your intellect, what you think. You know you're going to be held accountable for what you think. He has a right to govern what you think. He has a right to command your affections. Since God has spoken by his Son, wherever you are in the Bible, just open it up and point your finger, and that's where Christ is speaking. Because of that, you'll be held accountable for what you think, accountable for your affections. He commands your will. He trains your conscience. Look at those words, verse 2. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And how does the Son describe himself? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The way this preacher to the Hebrews will put it, listen to verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Oh, your attention. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit of God breaks in and he demands, he summons your hearing, and then he holds you fast, lest we drift. How easy is it? Kids, you ever, when it's raining like really hard outside and you have the water running through the streets, do you ever take a bundle of sticks, tie them together, or take cardboard and cut it in a certain way and you make a little boat? And then you take that little boat made out of sticks or cardboard and set it there in the water in the street and watch it float. We float. We tend to drift. We drift in our convictions. We drift in what we believe. We drift in our practice. We drift in what we love and how we love. Because God has spoken by his Son. Listen to verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Why should you listen to the Bible? You should listen to the Bible because of the one who is speaking. And the one who is speaking is one who is the heir of all things. The one speaking is the one who has created the world. And the one speaking is the radiance of the glory of God. Oh, if you only saw Jesus for who he is, that he is the beauty, he is the majesty, he is the glory, he is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature. Kids, you want to know what God is like? Look to Jesus. He is the exact, I mean, just hear it, the exact imprint of his nature. You hear the one, verse 3, who upholds the universe by the word of his power. Holding all things together. Who is Jesus? He's the one who's given all authority in heaven and earth. He is the one who commands the winds and the waters. He is the one who walks upon the waters. He is the one who's able to take one loaf of bread and break it apart and feed thousands. This Jesus, he is the one who speaks and it is done, who commands and it stands firm. Oh, this Christ, he's the one who upholds. He is the glue. He's the one who sustains everything. He holds it all together. Upholds the universe by what? What does Jesus use to uphold all things, to sustain all things? Biology and scientific laws, all of those things. What is it that Jesus is using to uphold the created order? Upholds the universe by the word of his power. You hear the one, verse 3, who made purification for sins. How did he make purification for sins? He goes to the cross as the great high priest, laying down his life as that sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. After making purification for sins, he sat down, crowned him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. He sat down, having finished the work given him to do. He sat down at the right hand, at the position of authority, the position of sovereignty, the position of rule, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, would you be joined to a fellowship, a brotherhood, a spiritual family that transcends, that rises above geography, nationality, that rises above the generations, transcends all those things, then listen. Listen to the one who has spoken. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. May he give us ears to hear. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that you would bend us to your will. Oh, Lord, give us to hear the voice of the Son of God speaking through the Scriptures. Make us willing in the day of your power. And this we ask in Jesus' name.